It's a good thing baseballs already have stitches. Because the way these ball players are hitting them... Yeah, they need stitches if they didn't already have them. So the next time you're watching a poor little baseball smacked off the wall in center, keep that little fella in your thoughts. It's hard to be a baseball right now. Baseball is something else. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.
KM to AM. Inside the 8 o'clock hour on the Fan. Keith McPherson, your nighttime host, taking your calls at 877-337-6666. On the eve of the Yankees home opener, this has been one of the most hyped, most anticipated home openers in a while, and we get it on a Friday in the boogie down Bronx, and now we got the boogie down dogs. Let's see it. Marcus Stroman, a New Yorker, kid that grew up in Long Island, dreaming of being a Yankee. He gets his opportunity tomorrow, and I can't wait to see it. I can't wait to see all of you. 877, you know the number to dial. Let's get to the phones. Eric is in Bayville. Eric, you're on the Fan.
Yo, what's good, Keith?
Hanging out, you know, doing the job.
It's Christmas Eve to me.
Yeah.
Tomorrow is opening day, bro.
We're allowed back in. We can go back to Yankee Stadium.
Yeah, the only time I see it is driving about 65 miles an hour past it or doing 1 mile an hour, staring at it in traffic. So it's either
it's,
or.
It's but, my yeah, favorite it's, place to hang out in New York City. It's just I love the 7 months that we get to go up there. When we're not allowed in there, it sucks. When we had the pandemic and we couldn't go, I was losing my mind. It's time. We're back.
It's nice. It's the little battles that you get to win. It's like my first, like the first sign of spring for me is hearing John and Susan on the first spring training game on the radio. Like,
well,
once
Susan,
that happens,
I'm like, thank you.
I'm like, well, thank you, Susan. I appreciate it. That's baseball, Susan. But speaking of baseball, so I bought tickets for the Eclipse game. I mean, like, yo, the Babylonians knew this Eclipse was going to happen. Like, now, like, an hour before, you know, like, a couple days before, like, you're just going to, you know, man, like, they knew everything that was going to happen.
The Yankees knew it was going to happen. They have a T-shirt they're giving away, a solar eclipse T-shirt. They knew it was going to happen, but I think they thought they could play it at 2 o'clock.
But, Keith, this is the point. You bring up the T-shirt, right? So if you were looking at tickets to this game about a month ago, even 4 days ago, you know how they put that little trophy on Game Time next to where it has a giveaway day?
Yeah.
They didn't have that. So this was a kind of spur of the moment. This was not set last year. Like, you know what days are going to be what days.
Yes, it wasn't in the promo. It wasn't in the Yankees, like, promotional.
No, it wasn't. Dude, it wasn't even on the game 4 days ago in the Game Time app.
Mm-hmm.
That's what I'm trying to say. So this was kind of, I think, this T-shirt idea, because you have a Monday against an 0-7 Marlins team with an eclipse. So they were like, hey, we can make some money off of this thing at 2 o'clock in the afternoon, because everyone's at school still. Everyone's at work. It's still cold. You're going to still freeze your buns off at the stadium.
You can say
so let's get some people in the door. So they knew this was going to happen. And then the MLB came in and was like, yo, this is an insurance liability. What are you guys doing? You guys are going to go for a pop
fly? The Yankees are like, what are you talking about? We played in smog. We played in orange. It looked like Mars last year when we played. Remember that? Remember the game where it was
remember,
just like, it looked stupid in New York. It was orange out here.
Yeah, we played in a bug infestation in Cleveland. I still think Torres should take a job out of that game, but that's neither here nor there.
Coming from
I have
the
another
lake.
Question for you, though, Keith. Yeah. I'm not a big hockey fan, but I know that you're a Devils fan. So, real quick. So, the Rangers and the Devils had that fight last night, right?
It's been Mortal Kombat.
Yeah, but dude, okay. What if that was so in? If that took place in the NBA? If the Bulls and the Pistons...
NBA players aren't built like that. Most of those guys are soft. They would never scrap like that. They can't squabble. It would never go down. There'd be two or three
of them.
That's
not my question.
Go ahead.
That's not my question, though. My question is, if that were to happen in an NBA game, you would see suspensions. You would see people missing the rest of the season. If you step foot on an NBA court when there's a fight in progress, you're suspended for 6 games immediately.
Because of malice in the palace. Yeah. Go ahead.
Yeah, okay. So what about the Flyers in the 70s that crawled into the crowd in the garden?
It's just different. I spoke about it last night and how hockey, I've been watching 3 hockey seasons, and I'm starting to like hockey more and more and more. And it just it has a different way of policing itself. In the same week we saw Rhys Hoskins slide into second, which I thought was perfectly fine, and Jeff McNeil saying, don't do that. Don't slide at
That's
me.
That's not the point.
You know, like, Scott, he could have swung at him.
Scott Bertuzzi almost killed somebody on the ice, and they're not going to be happy until somebody seriously gets injured in a fight. You have a son. Are you going to raise? Is that sportsmanship? You played sports.
If my son wants to play hockey, I'm going to let him know. Enter at your own risk, bro. Like that comes with the territory. Those are the toughest guys. I used to think the football players were tough. No, the hockey guys are the toughest guys. Thanks for the call, Eric. Don't take fighting out of the sport. That was a spectacle. I've never seen anything like that. Some of you called last night to say that has gone on before. Teach a man how to squabble. They knew what time it was. They all dropped the gloves. There were some mismatches. It is a part of the game. It is a part of hockey. Now, it's not a part of hockey in the youth level, but when you make it to the pro level, it is American Gladiator out there. Canadian Gladiator, Russian Gladiator. Like, man, when that game started like that, and I saw that, I still have watched that video like 5 times. You just don't get it. But, like, why did they do that? Because they had a score to settle. They had a message to send. Matt Rempe, right? They, you know, it was unfinished business. But all in all, the Rangers win. They sweep the Devils. And the Devils looked at that game like, yo, we're just going to F the game up. We don't care if people get ejected. We're not going to the playoffs. We're going to send a message. This is a rivalry. And this is a blood sport. A sport where they're going to let us fight. It's not like they let them fight. It's not like they gave them a boxing round. It was just 30 seconds, a minute in the beginning of the game. Okay, you guys got that out of your system? Good, done. I don't look at it like, I don't know. I don't look at it like, I get it, you know, somebody could get their nose broken in or whatever, but like, I don't look at it as like a safety thing. I don't compare it to other sports. It'll never happen in the NBA. The NBA, they don't scrap like that. It's just like, the guys aren't built like that. They're all talk. Hockey, you better be ready to bring it. It is a rough physical sport, and fighting is allowed, and it is something that I don't think they're ever taken out of the game because it's part of how they police themselves. When I'm talking about Rhys Hoskins and Jeff McNeil yelling as he's standing over him, if you felt some kind of way about that, do something about it right then and there. You not acting on it led the rest of your teammates to clear the benches, and then your first-time manager not know how to handle the situation. And then you look super dumb when you don't just throw at him right away, and he goes out there and dogs you, right? Takes over the game, hits home runs, owns you, and you got to throw behind him, miss by 8. You know what I'm saying? It's like baseball has unwritten rules. Hockey also has some unwritten rules. I was perfectly fine with what I saw last night. Hey, Josh in the Bronx.
No, Keith, man.
We were just hanging out.
You're so awesome making that entrance and everything. God, man, you go on, boy. You enjoy that Yankee open to tomorrow. Shout out to Milton in Section 203.
I got to post a picture we took on Twitter.
You,
I got to tag you.
You are awesome, baby. Keep on. Goodbye, man. Have a great time.
Hey, it was great meeting you. You guys know that Josh calls and he supported my show from very early on. He's a Yankee fan, lives in the Bronx. I got to, dial up this on Twitter right now. I was happy to see everybody that either calls or tweets or whatever, man. It was awesome to have an event. And if you heard the ads playing for the last week, it was promoted well. I would say there was like 70, maybe 80 people there in a little, phone store in Times Square, and there's so many people in Times Square. I forgot how wild, like, Times Square is chaos. You just don't go there if you're in New York. Like, I worked there when I worked at MTV for 2.5 years, and I was coming in from Jersey through the Port Authority. I forgot that it's just like, it's people everywhere. But yeah, it was great to see Josh Wells and so many of you guys out there, Pam and Andrea, who I see you tweeting at me. I've already forgotten so many people's names. Mia, Damaris, like, I don't want to start running through everybody's names. Dave, like, I don't want to, Matt, I don't want to leave people out. But, like, it is awesome to break down that wall between the calls and that wall between the internet and see people show up to meet me. And, I'm a regular dude like you guys are, a regular fan like you guys are. I'm not Paul O'Neill, I'm not Cecil Fielder. And, yeah, I enjoyed that today. It put me in such a great mood coming here. I hustled to get here, and I thank WFAN for even, you know, putting me on. They could have picked anybody here at WFAN to go down there. Well, I guess you couldn't put anybody. Like, you're not going to put Evan there. It'd have to be somebody that's a Yankee fan. And I guess I'm the Yankee fan that was picked, so it was cool, man. Shout out to Josh. Josh, I got to get, let me find your your Twitter, and I will tag you on Twitter so everybody can see. I told you guys last night, you know, follow me on Twitter, follow me on Instagram, follow me on TikTok, because I'm about to put together a three-day movie. This was day one, right? The T-Mobile event, and now a five-hour KM to AM. I'll go live probably by 9 o'clock, maybe 9:30 once we get to the second half of the show. But, you know, speaking of the Devils and Rangers, I like choosing the Devils was one of the smartest moves that I ever made in life. Like, I love the Devils so much. And Prudential Center, and shout out to Pete and everybody over there. Even when LT was working over there, like, they have treated me like an A-list celebrity. They have rolled out the red carpet for me, and they continue to do things for me just for, you know, me being a Jersey guy on the fan, repping the Devils. And tomorrow night, after opening day, I'm going to drive home, shower, and then slide 20 minutes away from Jersey City to Newark and watch Drake and Lil Wayne perform the last show of this tour, which is going to be insane, at the Prudential Center. And I remember being on the fan saying that they were going to UBS. And I was like, yeah, well, does anybody have a connection at UBS? Of course, people at the fan have a connection at UBS. Most of these guys have gone to UBS to see the Islanders, been in the box, whatever. I'm in Jersey. I don't want to drive all the way to Long Island. I don't have to. I could just take an Uber or literally take the PATH train from Jersey City to Newark to see two of the greatest rappers ever, Lil Wayne, who I told you on the fan, in my opinion, is the best rapper alive, the best of all time, and the Devils are hooking me up and putting me in there just as like a thank you for representing us and a shout out and, you know, a way to just, you know, keep me in their good graces. I don't know. It's awesome. Shout out to the Prudential Center, the connections over there, the Devils. I will see you guys tomorrow night, as we will bring the house down in Jersey with Drizzy Drake and Young Weezy. The last leg of the tour is going to be a movie. 877-337-6666. Back to talking about the Yankees on the fan. Mickey is in Sturbridge, Massachusetts. What's up, Mick?
Hey, thanks for taking my call. Great show.
Thank you.
Yankee fan since 1960, when they broke my heart as a little boy.
Wow.
Yeah, I was a Bronx boy, but I'm in Mass now. I wanted to make a comment about that bases loaded situation. But before that, if I could, I just wanted to say something about Boone. You know, when they hired him, being a baseball fan for so many years, I said, you got to give this guy a year. He's never managed, maybe even 2 years, to learn, you know, what it takes to manage games and make the right moves. And the last 3 years of his five-year stint, I was so disgusted with him, the way he handles pitchers. You know, either he was pulling them too soon, letting them stay in too long, and did the same thing with relievers, just made some of the most bizarre moves. But I got to give credit where credit's due. And I think so far, I don't know if this is a change, but I think he's made just about every correct move you can make in a game. The one thing I didn't like is I thought he could have let Hill stay in with a four-run lead.
I didn't mind that at all.
I don't really, though. I think he could have done it, but hey, we got the win.
He's a young kid. He's coming back from Tommy John surgery. Yeah. He's going to have an innings limit. They're protecting him. His number was 85. He got the 84 pitches. That's it.
Yeah, I agree. But I like what he's doing, Boone, and I hope it continues. I think he's let the relievers stay in for a couple of innings, which he never used to do before. On a low pitch count, and it used to drive me nuts. But one thing I wanted to say,
Before we move on, last night I was on late till 2 a.m., and we got to talking about Aaron Boone, and I said this, and shout out to Booney, because I actually was able to meet Boone. I did the event and the Q&A with him a couple months ago before spring training started down at Baseline Social. We'll be back there with Willie Randolph on May 19th. But I asked Boone questions about, you know, changing the lineup every day and taking guys out early and all these different things, and he gave me straightforward answers. And, like, now they have the balance that they need. They're missing Gerrit Cole, but, like, they have a strong bullpen, and they know these guys that they have on the mound starting the games and what they can do, right? You notice there's a much longer leash on a Marcus Stroman throwing 101 pitches. Carlos Rodon, like, you know, two nights ago, Rodon kind of gave Boone a look like, really? And me, I'm like, Rodon, hand the ball over and go. I understand you want to put on for the cameras, like, you want to compete, but, like, they know it's time to get to the bullpen. Aaron Boone is managing for his job. And imagine you had one shot to save your job. Imagine this was the last year of your contract, where if things go south, your head is going to roll. I think what we're seeing is Aaron Boone managing and them letting him manage and actually make the decisions. When you see Victor Gonzalez come off the mound and come into the dugout and Boone taps him, hey, you got one more in you? That's him managing and making a decision in the game based off feel, even leaving an Oswaldo Cabrera in the lineup after he's been hot. I think what we are actually seeing now is Aaron Boone in year 7 or 8. I meant to look it up. He is the Yankees manager. These guys like playing for him. Aaron Judge loves him. And the New York Yankees as a franchise and organization are letting him manage his potential last year, which I've already been on the record. This ain't his last year. He ain't getting fired. He's not getting chopped no matter what.
No, and like I say, I totally agree with you. I'm seeing such a change in the way he's handling the games. I'm really excited. Hey, I want to say something about that bases loaded situation because it's really funny. It wasn't that was a rocket science move. I mean, come on. But it was the right move, and he made it. But the funny thing about that is I'm online a lot, and I hate to say it, but 3/4 of the people that make comments online, they don't know anything about baseball.
Correct.
It's sad. And if that pitcher would have got a bleeder or a bloop and they lost the game, these people would be calling for Boone's head because they don't know what they're talking about.
Mm-hmm.
It was, you know, and thank God he made the right move. Like I said, it wasn't rocket science, but it was the right move. It
worked out. And you're 100% right. The people that are loudest online, they don't have a clue. They don't know what they're looking at, what they're talking about, but they're quick to hit send.
They would have called for his head if that game ever got lost, you know. So, but thanks for taking my call. Have a great night.
Thanks, Mickey. 1960, what did he say, 1960, 1961? That's what I was talking about last night, bros. Last night when Morris from Brooklyn called and said he started following the Yankees through listening to me on The Fan, right? This is now my third season. I came in late 2021, but I had the full 2022, 2023, now 2024 season. And he said he's not impressed. Not impressed with the start because they're just going to lose again. Or he said something along the lines of like, why should I be impressed with this start? They got to prove it in October. Well, you can't fast forward to October. And what I said to him was there are people listening to my voice that have watched the Yankees for twice as long as I've been alive. And if they're impressed by this start, you should be impressed as someone who just came in 2022 watching Josh Donaldson and Aaron Hicks and Joey Gallo. You know what I'm saying? 877-337-6666. We'll talk more about what's going on in the Garden with the Knicks after the break. Mets fans, it's still wide open for you to express whatever you want about Sugar Diaz, whatever you want about Pete Alonso, Adam Ottavino, Francisco Lindor, Harrison Bader. I told y'all, y'all not going to want Harrison Bader playing every single day, but it is what it is. Maybe he gets hot in Cincinnati where he got put on waivers by the Yankees and picked up last year. This is Keith McPherson on The Fan. I'll be right back.
If your day sounds like...
We need the report ASAP.
You deserve Modelo. If you've persevered through... You deserve this rich golden lager with a crisp but refreshing taste. Or if you overcame...
Two more.
You deserve this ice-cold reward. Modelo, the markable fighter. Drink responsibly. Beer imported by Crown Imports, Chicago, Illinois.
For the first time, U.S. subscribers can stream MLB Network 24/7, including select out-of-market games.
Swing and a drive. It's deep. It's gone. Yes!
Stream minor league affiliates.
Home run number one.
Portrait pick number one.
Plus, get MLB Big Inning and live audio for all 30 teams.
Baseball can't get better than this.
Experience the game like never before with MLB Network and At-Bat, your all-in-one baseball destination. Only $6.99 per month. Visit MLB.com/At-Bat for details. Blackout and other restrictions apply. MLB trademarks used with permission.
McPherson on The Fan, 87777, whatever. You know the number to dial. I'm blown away. The Yankees just dropped a video with Spike Lee, Kid the Wiz, and my guy Joe's McFly. And I almost forgot that they reached out a while ago asking if they could use one of my TikTok videos of me playing Frank, singing Frank Sinatra opening day last year at the stadium. And it's funny because in that video, you can hear me like losing my voice. The last bit of voice I had, I'm singing Frank. And I got in the car to drive here. And I remember Connor produced, and I text Connor. I'm like, bro, we got a problem. I'm like, I'm in the car trying to talk. I can't talk. Like I don't have a voice.
I think you called me and you said, "Hey, I'm gonna be there soon." But when you said it, I was like, I barely heard what you were saying, and I was like, "All right, Keith, sounds good."
I had been at the stadium talking and seeing people from 10 a.m. like, "Yo, let's go, we back, baby." I mean, when they announced Volpe last year, I tried to scream louder than anybody in there, and then the whole game we were yelling and screaming. And then you belt out New York, New York at the end. And I got in the car, and it wasn't until I was by myself where I was like, I can't talk. So I'll be off tomorrow. I will not attempt to do another five-hour show after yelling and screaming in the cold all day. But, man, go check out that video that the Yankees just dropped. It just gave me chills. There's nothing better than Yankee Stadium. There's nothing better than being a Yankee fan, and nothing better than these guys coming in like they're coming in right now with the energy of taking the first two series on the road against two very good teams. You know they got to lose a game, and they picked the right game to lose, right? They let us go to sleep that night. Didn't score a run. I was like, all right, I can cut out here. But, man, the energy. Shout out to the Yankee social media team. Some of you I know personally, you guys are amazing. Ryan, Nick, like, you guys kill it. And I say that because I noticed the change. I've seen the change over the years. When I was in the fan cave back in 2014, the Yankee social media presence was not like this. It wasn't even close. They transformed over the years. And as we're talking about the Yankee way changing, the Yankee way online has changed. And they are top notch. They are the best in the game. They're absolutely killing it. And that video just gave me chills. They got my guy, Joe's McFly, working concessions at the stadium. And Spike Lee ordered some hot dogs from him. I'm like, I just tweeted it out. I'm like, Joe's, when you start working at the stadium, Pop? Like, Joe's is the type. Joe's is not working at the stadium. Joe's is sitting in his seat. And he's not missing a single pitch. And he's not leaving until the last out. And we're back on, man. We are all the way back on tomorrow. And I am praying for a run through October. 877-337-6666. Let's go to Joe in Thornwood, New York. Joe, you got it. You're on the fan. Joey! All right, let's try this again. Yankee fans, there's all Yankee fans on the line. Mets fans, feel free to jump in. And, you know, if you want to talk about, I don't know, Tonkin or Adrian Hauser's debut or Jose Buto, we can do that as well. But Joe is in Thornwood, New York. Now Joe's ready to go.
Hey, Keith. Hope you're doing great.
I am. I'm in love with this team, the honeymoon stage. I'm on cloud nine with this fan base, with the social media stuff, with what the Yes Network has been doing. I noticed the change in the Yes Network digitally. I just came from Times Square with Paul O'Neill and Cecil Fielder and a bunch of Yankee fans. Man, the vibes are immaculate.
Yeah, so I just wanted to get started about Marcus Stroman. I got to give Brian Cashman a ton of credit. This was a fantastic pickup. To me, you got to say this guy is a certified great MLB pitcher. He's probably the best ground ball pitcher in the bigs.
And, you don't say. And in Yankee Stadium, yeah, that's gonna work pretty well. And I tip my cap to both Cashman and Stroman for being men and being professionals, and letting bygones be bygones, and not worrying about Twitter or past interviews, and looking at what's in front of them and saying, "Oh, we could do business. We could make this work." And I hope for a great season. I highly enjoyed watching Stroman pitch against Houston, and I think we're gonna love it tomorrow too.
Yeah, so 100%. The history was there between the two of them, and they worked it out, and I love it. I think the Yankees have a formidable staff right now, even without Gerrit Cole. So let's just hope that he comes back, and I think they could really make some noise. Big pickups by Cashman. Just wanted to give credit where credit was due there, and hope you're doing great, Keith.
Thanks for the call, Joe. Yeah, and you know what? Like, if out of one side of your mouth you can call for the man's job, out of the other side of your mouth you should acknowledge the man doing his job. And a joke I made last night is when you're the eternal GM, you've got nine lives. You've always got a chance to redeem yourself. And it's a long way to go until we actually are writing apology forms to Brian Cashman. But you can tip your cap. You can acknowledge that he made the right moves, that he obviously addressed the need. And so far, the calculus of guys' personalities and the right mojo, energy, swag in the clubhouse, it looks like it's translating into these guys going on the field and finding ways to win. I was out there at T-Mobile with Lacey Mazzilli as well. That was my first time meeting her. I just followed her on Twitter, and when I saw her, I'm like, I know you from Yankee Stadium being on the big screen. And, you know, she's asking the questions, and she's got her, you know, cards and, you know, prepared questions, very professional. When I do these meet and greets, whether it is me and Paul O'Neill, like it was at the Stone Pony last June and even today, or me and Aaron Boone, Willie Randolph coming up, Jose Trevino, I've done a few of these now, even with Phil Simms and Nick Mangold. I'm telling you guys, I'm such a fan, and like I'm glad that I have actually like made this my profession and I'm able to speak well and do all this. Everything that I do is off the cuff. It's all off the top of my head. It's freestyle. So I'm sitting there and I'm looking at these fans, and I asked these guys, tell us about the clubhouse. My two questions were, tell us about the clubhouse and how important it is for you guys to have relationships in the clubhouse and then for that to translate to on-field success. And they started telling stories and talking about 96 and the jokes and how Charlie Hayes used to make fun of Cecil Fielder's big toe and Cecil Fielder's making fun of the bat that Paul O'Neill used to use. He said he had this big 36-ounce ugly bat. I don't know how it worked, but he made it work. And, you know, we're just laughing and having a good time today. And then my second question was about the celebration, the culmination, the reward for putting in spring training, 162 and a run through October to get the pop champagne, pour beers on each other, and then have a parade through New York City. And I loved what they said about that. Cecil Fielder talking about how he doesn't think anybody had more fun in 96 than he had. He said he put on the Ritz. He said he had cigars, champagne, everything. He said he was with Jeets and Charlie Hayes. And then the Warrior, Paul O'Neill, was like, well, you know, I won it with the Cincinnati Reds. We beat the A's. And I'm thinking, wow, this is great to win the World Series. We weren't supposed to beat them, and we did. And, you know, we got in our little Corvettes and, you know, went down the boulevard in Cincinnati, Ohio for 10,000 people. And then I won it with the Yankees. Are you kidding me? Millions of people. People throwing stuff from the windows. You can't see anything but people in New York City. That is where you win the World Series. That is a World Series parade. And we're not getting ahead of ourselves thinking that this team could do it. But we know it's a drought, and we know that we are all thirsty and hungry and craving a parade in this city, because the next one is going to be in 4K. The next one is going to be documented on every social media and live forever. It'll be live streamed for the world to see what New York City looks like and what the greatest fan base in the world looks like. 877-337-6666. Morris in Brooklyn, I hope this is the same Morris from last night. Morris, welcome back. How are you?
Yes, it is. Yes, it is. And I want to clarify exactly what happened, what I said last night. And I know that you respect your people. You say it all the time.
And I respect you. Yes.
Yeah, I hope you give me a chance. So when I said that I followed the Yankees for 2 years, what I meant was that I actually started listening to every single game and actually started going to games and listening to you. Like I said, I listened to the radio
actively. Following.
Yeah.
Yes.
Yeah. But I definitely know what happened in the past 25, 30 years. I'm not as old as you, but I've been around. And
I'm not that old.
Yeah, but I'm not that old either. You know what I'm saying? Like
I'm kidding.
I'm joking. Younger than you.
I'm glad I'm as old as I am, because I've seen and lived five World Series. You know what I'm saying? Go on.
Yeah. So I know what the Derek Jeter Stein was, his whole career, and I know what happened in 09. I know what the Baby Bombers were like. I've watched a lot of documentaries and videos, and I know who Bernie Williams was and all these people. I can't tell you I know what was before 1996. That I don't know, but I definitely know what the Yankees are all about and their dynasty.
You don't need to know about 78 to 96. That was the dark age. We're trying to not match that dark age of time in this drought, which is 3 years away from it. But, yep, go on.
Yeah. Okay, and most importantly, I know what happened ever since 2017 when the Astros cheated, and ever since then we couldn't overcome them in the playoffs. So what I'm saying is that, and also what I said about Juan Soto is that I'm not saying Juan Soto is not a good player, and I'm not saying – first of all, he's one of the best players, and I'm not saying I'm not excited about him. I'm very excited that he's part of the Yankees, and I'm very excited about the season. But I'm saying just the fact that we had seven games is not a reason to think that number one, we're better than the Astros, and number two, it doesn't mean we're one of the best teams in baseball.
So what does it mean to you? What does it make you think? If it doesn't mean and it doesn't make you think that we're better than the Astros, who couldn't win a single game, who literally threw a no-hitter after the Yankees left town, right? What do you feel as, like, you, Morris, the Yankee fan that is now actively watching the team, what do you feel? Because you're not alone. This fan base is split. That's why the other night I was saying I am not the voice of Yankee fans. Neither is Sean Morash. Neither is BT. Neither is Chris McMonagle, Joe's McFly, John Boy, JJ, Hubs. None of us. Bald Vinny. None of us are. Because the greatest rivalry in baseball is Yankee fans versus other Yankee fans. We disagree on everything. So you are not impressed. You do not feel like the Yankees are better than the Houston Astros based off of one series. What do you feel?
I feel that very simple. My answer is we have to talk again in August.
Well, we're going to talk every single day from now to August to November. Well, I'm going to talk. I'm going to talk.
Right, you are.
And multiple fans are going to talk. And we're going to take this day by day, series by series, and hope that they build towards being a team with a better record than everyone in the major leagues, American League, not just the Houston Astros. But you understand, Morris, the recent history and what I was saying last night that, you know, I was there. I caught Kobe Rasmus' home run and threw it back in 2015. I was there in 2017. I was there in 2019. I was there scratching my eyes out in 2022. I've lived the defeat at the hands of the Houston Astros. So the get back that happened last September when it really didn't matter, and then it carried on to this season now, and we haven't lost in seven games in Houston, it's like we exercised some demons. It's like we got the monkey off our back. It's like, okay, big bad wolf is defeated.
Yeah. I appreciate you letting me clarify, but this is what I hold by, and I guess time will tell. We'll be able to see in a few months from now who's right.
Thanks for the call, Morris. Yeah. And like, I know this is just your third season actively following the Yankees and watching every game, but a lot of us live our lives like this. A lot of us go to a lot of games. A lot of us don't miss a single game. A lot of us watch every single game of an 82-80 season, and that's why 6-1 feels like we're on top of the world. 877-337-6666. It's halftime. The Knicks are only down by 8. It's 60-52. Kings over the Knicks in the Garden. Maybe the second half, the Knicks come through and get a win. Who knows? We'll talk about it. We also can talk Mets. Mets fans, chime in with anything that you feel about your team. As you just heard, two different Yankee opinions on this team. Some Yankee fans aren't impressed. You know what that is, too? That's trauma. That's PTSD. That's so what? In 2022, you were the fastest team to win 50 games. And then in August, like Morris just mentioned, the dog days hit and you fell out of it some. And then you got swept in the ALCS. So you can't fool me. Fool me, can't fool me again. Well, I'm down to be fooled. I'm down to have my heart broken. I do it every year. And I'm on cloud nine, the honeymoon stage with the New York Yankees right now. Use me, abuse me, I will be here forever. Keith McPherson on the Fan, we'll be right back. One more sleep. We go to sleep tonight, we wake up tomorrow, and we're allowed back into our stadium. Keith McPherson on the Fan, KM to AM. We got three more hours, 877-337-6666. Taking your calls, talking sports, mostly hyping up the Yankees fans and getting ready for opening day tomorrow. It's still halftime in the Garden as the Knicks are down 8 against the Sacramento Kings. And I said I wanted to talk to some Mets fans, and some Mets fans heard me and they called. Let's go to Brian in Westchester. Brian, you're on the Fan.
Yo, what's going on?
Yo, what up?
Dude, chill. Just, bro, we're going to talk Mets, but, dude, like, let's talk Knicks for a second. So, I mean, bro, season's over, right? Like, Julius Randle is done. So, I love the Villanova squad. You know what I'm saying? I thought that we should have gotten Mikhail from New York and just, like, made it tougher, but they didn't want to.
Yeah, he's untouchable in Brooklyn. For some reason, the Brooklyn Nets feel like he is the franchise. They won't give up Mikhail Bridges for multiple first-round picks.
He is. Bro,
no,
he is not. He is their franchise, hell yeah. But, I mean, like, if we're the Knicks and we're going to have the Villanova guys.
Yeah, you're missing a piece to that puzzle. You need him. They should have sent him, but
we need him.
Maybe next year.
Right now, we're down eight to the Sacramento Kings, and they don't got Malik Monk. They don't have Kevin Herter. You tell me how we got the best. We got the third best defense, and we're getting outshot by Keon Ellis. You know, like, we're talking about no names here. We're getting outshot by bums. How does that work?
Davion Mitchell. I said, man,
it is the
Knicks and the Knicks fans in the Garden knowing that today is the first day of realizing that Julius Randle isn't coming back, so you took a hit. Like, you're not what you thought you were going to be the rest of the way. It sucks. Guys will step up. We don't know what's going to happen, but that is a huge missing piece. He's a multiple-time All-Star. He was the most improved player a couple years ago, and this version of the Knicks, he was the guy that chose the Knicks and started this, honestly.
You're right. Nah, I mean, dude, and I'm a Knicks lifer, but this just feels like pain, bro. This was the season, man.
It's just a little deflating.
We lost to the Heat last year on a Josh Hart open look three.
Yeah, they got you again.
Like, that was
you lost Randle against the Heat. Some said it was a dirty play. I don't know. But I'll say this. Maybe you get as far as you did last year.
Hope so. We don't hope so. On the Mets, though, I want to know what you think of this stat. They went 13 whole innings without a hit. I don't know how many walks were allowed in that 13 innings, but that is atrocious for a team that is built out like the Mets are this year.
Yeah, they're making too much money. They have too much talent.
What does that do for them?
Yeah, I watched all of those innings, and I'm just laughing. Like, this is incredible. That's why I say it feels like there's some kind of hex, curse, higher power at play with the Mets. And I don't know. But they found a way today. But I mean, the games before that, blowing two games in extra innings, not being able to score a run in extra innings, like it's like some type of weird energy. Is it the baseball god saying, hey, we don't care if you have the richest owner in the sport, highest payroll, back to back years, you can add a dance crew on top of your dugout, you can add disco lights to your stadium. You didn't do the right things baseball wise. You kick Buck Showalter to the curb, he'll never get another opportunity to manage in Major League Baseball. Like, there's just little things. There's just little things that, I don't know. It's negative energy. It's not the right energy. But they found the right energy with Pete Alonso, Tyrone Taylor, whatever, and they got one win. So maybe the tide can turn. Maybe they can use this as momentum going into Cincinnati.
True. I doubt it, man. Who are the Yankees playing tomorrow, opening day? Who are they playing?
The Toronto Blue Jays.
Dang, okay.
Who's starting tomorrow? Baby Blue Jays. Kid Kikuchi.
Who's throwing the rubber?
Kid Kikuchi. You say Kikuchi versus Marcus Stroman.
Dang. Okay. I mean, that's so far
against the Knicks in this third quarter, second half, the Sacramento Kings are coming out shooting. They have turned that 6-point lead into a 14-point lead.
Yeah, shocker. Shocker, bro. All right, man. Dude, love what you're doing. Keep it up, bro.
Thanks for the call, Brian. 877-337-6666. If you'd like to engage, if you'd like to counter, if you'd like to add something to my show that I haven't spoken on. I know nobody wants to talk about the Chiefs moving. I know no one wants to talk about the Oakland A's moving. I mean, this is New York. You want to talk about the Yankees. You want to talk about the Knicks, the Mets, maybe. The Rangers, maybe. And we can do that. Let's take another call before we go to break. If I have the time, I think I do. Nick is in Tom's River. Nick, you're on the Fan.
Hey, what's up, Keith, man? Thanks for taking the call. I You know, it's funny because all winter long, right, I'm getting calls from Yankee season ticket holders, right? And I was one of the guys. Call me back when Cashman's gone, right? Call me back when Boone's gone, right?
Yeah.
Just despondent. You know what I mean?
Upset.
I never thought, and I've been a Yankee fan. I was born in 93, right? I came out the womb a Yankee fan, came out the womb to parades, right?
Yeah.
Never thought that the Red Sox would be second hated in my life, right? Like, it almost feels like since 2015.
I thought that curse was forever, yeah.
Right? Since 2015. So you see, Morris doesn't understand. He doesn't remember Dallas Keuchel. Forget Altuve. We've been suffering for a long time.
It was Dallas Keuchel versus Masahiro Tanaka at that wild card game.
I don't know what's going to happen, right? And we'll talk in August, but you can't tell me that they go down there and they win the four games in the way that they did, that it's not different. And what Yankee fans have been looking for is just something different.
It is.
And right
now,
it's
different in the last couple years. In the last couple years, they find ways to lose those games. In the last couple years, they don't win in extra innings.
We would have lost. Forget in Houston, even in Arizona, we would have lost. I found three ways to lose that game, right?
Yeah, that's a team that was in the World Series last year. That's a team that beat us in the World Series. Like, I mean, it is different, and I just think like people want to throw cold water on it. People just want they just want to let people not enjoy things. Even in our own fan base, is toxic like that. Where there are people in our own fan base telling other Yankee fans, relax. They're still not good enough. Gerrit Cole is hurt. Judge isn't hitting. Like, there's negativity built into our own fan base.
So it's allowed to enjoy. We're allowed to enjoy. And it's about time we got a little swagger back, right?
Yes, sir.
I just pulled up to my house. I'm down in Tom's River. My girl works in Middletown. Hopefully she gets out in time, and we're going to be down in Section 203 Saturday night. Because I'm fired up, man. I work for transit. I work down I'm on the D line all day.
Yeah.
And people are fired up, man. The crew rooms are fired up. Like, we're excited.
You see those Yankee hats and Yankee jackets
excited.
And smiles on people's faces. We're
exactly.
back.
We're back. You know, and I don't know how long we don't know what's going to happen. But you know what? I'm pretty happy, man. It's a great start. I'm very excited for Stroman. And, you know, if we could get past and get Cole back, right? What is he going to miss? Like 12 starts?
We don't know.
We get Cole
we'll
back.
We'll see. June. And we're going to need him in June because the schedule gets tough. Thanks for the call, Nick. Enjoy it. Let people enjoy things. Live for the moment. Learn how to be present. Breathe. Exhale. Be right where your feet are. Keep McPherson on the fan. Stay right where you are. ESPN Bet is ready to take you through all the huge sports moments this spring. The exclusive sports book of ESPN has it all, including exclusive offers and promotions from Scott Van Pelt and Stephen A. Smith. From the playoff intensity to getting on the links and out to the ballpark, there's no better time for sports fans. Sign up today and new users get $100 in bonus bets for making any sportsbook bet. Download ESPN Bet today. What a play. Must be 21 plus and present within the state of New Jersey to participate. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. Terms and conditions apply. See app for details.
It's a good thing baseballs already have stitches, because the way these ball players are hitting them, yeah, they need stitches if they didn't already have them. So the next time you're watching a poor little baseball smacked off the wall in center, keep that little fella in your thoughts. It's hard to be a baseball right now. Baseball is something else. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.